It's been a busy week. I had the opportunity to travel back home to Gilmer County and preach in a revival, and I've been fired up. So I hope you're ready today. As you know, we've been in a sermon series that has been wrapped up in what we call mistaken identity. I believe that our nation today is going through an identity crisis. You know, we can say that in a whole lot of different facets, but I believe that Satan's number one goal for the Christian, for the one who has been set free from the chains of sin, is he has no more control over your life, so what he wants to do is confuse your identity. He has no more grasp on your soul, so his distraction now is this: distract you. Take your eyes off of your Father and put them on something completely different. We've taken God off of the throne and we've placed ourselves there. Today, I would like to speak to you on the fact that your identity is found in being a child of the King. Amen? We are called to be the child of the King. Growing up, we had this ancient device that teenagers have never heard of called a VHS. Has anyone ever heard of that before? This is like before, like, so we have Netflix today. Before, back in my day, because I'm old, we actually could have Netflix mail in DVDs to you. That's how it started. But even before that, we had the VHS system. And boy, did we use that. And whoever did not rewind the VHS tape at the end was always in trouble. But growing up, we have this massive collection of Disney movies. Do we have any Disney lovers in the church today? We've got a few. Good. For those of you who didn't raise your hands, you're probably the ones who booed Bridgeport. So, but growing up, my all-time favorite Disney movie was The Lion King. I loved it. It was a wonderful story. It was the first cartoon I ever watched, and I bawled my eyes out within like 30 minutes of the movie starting. But I believe that one of the nice things about The Lion King is that it packs a story that we can even learn from as Christians. You know, there's a moment in The Lion King when Simba runs away from the Pride Lands. He's weighed down with shame, fear, and guilt. He believes he doesn't belong anymore. He's failed, and the kingdom is lost to him. Then, in a vision, Mufasa appears. You guys remember this moment in the movie when Simba stands, Rafiki smacks him over the head. I would do the one-man play, but no one wants that. But there we have Simba. And Rafiki says, look in the water. And as he looks, he says, it's just me. He says, no, look past yourself. And he sees Mufasa in the sky. And Mufasa says this. He says, you have forgotten who you are, and so forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become. Remember who you are. You are my son. Remember. You see, picture Simba crouched, unsure, afraid. Nothing about his birthright had changed, but he had simply forgotten who he was. And church, you know, some of us are living like Simba. We're hiding. We're afraid. We are shame heavy, forgetting that we are loved, forgetting that we are chosen, forgetting that we belong. We need to remember who we are. We are the children of the King. Romans chapter 8, as Cruz read for us, it says this: for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be also glorified with him. Church, hear this carefully. Adoption in God's family is not partial. It's not conditional. It's not even temporary. In the Roman culture, adoption was a full legal... I lost my place. I apologize. full legal inclusion. It gave the adopted child all rights, all privileges, and the full inheritance. You didn't have to prove yourself. You didn't have to earn your place. You simply belonged. Even if your earthly father may not have modeled love, even if you felt abandoned, ignored, or even unworthy, God looks at you and says this: you are mine. You are loved, and you belong here. This is the foundation of everything. You are a child of the King, chosen, secure, and fully known. But here's the problem. Even when we know this truth, Satan does not stop. He doesn't always try to take us away from God. Sometimes he just tries to make us forget who we are. He whispers, "You need to earn this love. You are alone and you don't belong." He wants you to live as a worker, as an orphan, or an illegitimate child, hiding from your inheritance, weighed down by shame, fear, and doubt. So before we can walk fully as the children of the King, before we can rest in God's love, let's name the lies that Satan tells us. And let's let Scripture remind us of the truth that sets us free. There are three lies that I believe Satan whispers in our ear. And the first is this: the lie of the worker. You have to work and work hard to earn and keep God's love. Many believers live like this. And I won't lie, I live like it. I live like I had to prove to God that I deserved His mercy and His grace. And if we're honest, we don't. You see, God's mercy that was shed on the cross, I don't deserve that. That should be me on the cross. But He paid that for me. The book of Romans tells me that even in the depths of my sin, Christ died for me. He knew I was a sinner. He knew I had messed up. But yet He still chose to take that cross just for me and just for you. I have to pray perfectly. I have to read my Bible every day. I have to serve. I have to give. I have to achieve enough to just make God proud. And you know what happens? We can't live up to that. We can't live up to being the perfect Christian. We are still going to mess up. Until God comes back and calls us up to Him, we will still mess up. And with this mindset that I have to be the perfect worker for Christ, I can't mess up. When I do, shame sets in. Boy, I look at him and say, "Lord, I've messed up. I'm not even worthy. Lord, you can't love me anymore because I've messed up. I've fallen short. I'm not the perfect, the model Christian. So God, I understand. Take your attention somewhere else." But that's not the God who I serve. The second, let's not even go there yet. Let's go to Scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 through 39 says this: "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." We should cling to that. We should hold so tight to that. We should find it every morning when I wake up, every time when I mess up, every time when I fall down, when God picks me back up. Listen, when I read that, there's nothing else listed. It's everything. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. And John 15:9 says this: "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." That word "abide" is very, very important. You see, so many times we don't drift most of the times towards Christ. We usually drift away from Him. The word "abide" means I must stay connected. He is the vine. I'm simply a branch. If I cut the branch off, that branch cannot survive. I must abide in Him. I must stay connected to my Savior. God's love is not earned. It is a gift. I cannot earn that. It was freely given for me. Children don't earn their parents' love. They receive it. And our obedience flows from love, not the other way around. You see, obedience only feels like a burden when it feels foreign to us. But because God loved me, my desire is to now serve him. I look at the cross. I look at Jesus being mocked, being beaten, being spit upon, a crown of thorns shoved over his head, hung on a cross and died. And I look at that and think, why shouldn't I live for him? He died for me. Should I not live my life for him? Out of a place of love, because it was his love that hung him there, because he saw me and my sins. And because of that, because of his great sacrifice, should I not live for him? You see, obedience only feels like a burden when it's foreign. I'm not working for his love. I work because of his love. The second lie is the lie of the orphan. You see, so many times we're told you are alone. You're abandoned. No one really cares about you or wants to protect you. And sometimes we carry this in deep loneliness. Maybe we grew up in homes where love was conditional. Or maybe we've been hurt or let down by people. And Satan wants us to believe God must be distant too. I have to survive on my own, for I am on my own. So many times we go through these trials in life and we think, God, where are you? You know, I heard a preacher once say, the teacher is silent during the time of the test. Sometimes God leads us into a situation not to abandon us, but to strengthen our faith, to encourage us to cling to him, to fall hands and feet down at the cross and say, Lord, I need you. You see, we are not orphans. We are sons of the King. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know that song we just sang, he will never let me down. How many of you truly believe that? Christ said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you know what I have determined in my life? Christ has never let me down, and he's not going to start right now. He never lied. He's never told a fake truth. He presented his gospel. And when he says, I will never leave you, we can hang up everything we've got on that because it's the truth. Psalms 27, verse 10 says, as for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. You know, sometimes we grow up in rough situations. Sometimes home may not be the best place. But praise God, we have a Father in heaven who loves you more than we could ever imagine. A Father who, even when our fathers may seem distant, he is close as a brother. He is close like a friend. He cares for us. And we cling to that. Romans 8, 38 to 39 again reinforces this. It says this, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even if humans fail us, God is always present, always caring, and always providing. We're never alone, even when we feel like it. The third lie is this, the lie of the illegitimate child. You know, you don't really belong here. I mean, look at you. We're sitting amongst a lot of people today who look the part, and you don't even look it. You don't need the warmth. You don't need the joy. You don't even need the family of God. That's reserved for others. And if we're honest, this is the lie that I think we've bought into the most. Especially those who may not have grown up in church. We believe that Christ only died for a select few, when the truth is this, he died for all of us. Satan wants you to feel like you're not fully accepted in God's family, that you'll never experience intimacy with him, and that others are God's favorite because they've got blessings, but look at you, what do you have? What he wants us to do in this moment is begin to compare ourselves to others. That is a dangerous tool. And one, and I'm not that old man yet, but the thing that's amplified that is the things that we keep in our pocket all day long. our phones. Man, social media has allowed us to compare ourselves to so many people. Some who we know, some we don't even know, but we're looking at them and like, well, look at all the followers they have. I post something and it gets 3 views in 48 hours, so let's delete it and post it again so they see it some other time. We begin to compare and we distract ourselves from who we are supposed to model, and that's Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5 says this, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless." He chose you. Do you believe that? He chose you so much that he sent his only son to this world to live in and to die for you. When he began to create everything, he looked and said, "I love you so much. Adam and Eve, you've royally messed things up. But I'm going to give my son Jesus as a redemptive story to your story. I'm sending him because I love you." And if he didn't truly love us, would he give us his only son? Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 says this, "God sent his son so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." You are fully God's child. Your belonging is not temporary, it's not conditional, it's not dependent on performance. You are loved and adopted, chosen for family intimacy and inheritance. But now that we've named those lies, and the lies tell us what we have to earn God's love, that we are alone, or even if we don't belong, it's time to let the truth take root in our hearts. Because knowing the lies is not enough. We must choose to believe the reality of who we are. We are not workers, we are not orphans, and we are not illegitimate. We are children of the King, fully loved, fully chosen, fully secure. And when we step into that truth, it changes how we live. And here's how we should live. We must first start by resting in His love. Stop exhausting ourselves. Let's stop trying to earn what was already given to us at the cross. Some of us are measuring our worth by our performance, our consistency, our accomplishments, our approval of other people. But the Father is not waiting for you to become something before He loves you. He already loves you, and from that love, He begins to transform you. The amazing thing about Jesus is every person He met left changed. And I believe He can do that, and not only will He do that, but it will be accomplished. When you meet Jesus, you will leave changed. You are not earning your place, you are living from it. And yes, He is working in you. Yes, He is shaping you, He's correcting you, He is growing you. But He does His deepest work in a heart that has learned to rest in Him. Because when you finally rest in His love, you stop striving and you start surrendering. A surrender is where transformation actually happens. So every day, you've got to let the Spirit of God silence every other voice and remind your soul, "You are my beloved." Now, when you get it all together, not when you become consistent, right now. The second thing that we can do to live for Christ is to receive healing from shame. You know, remember I talked about when you have to strive for God's love and you mess up, shame sets in? Let's heal from it. Let's let it go right now. You know, when I read the beginning, Genesis, and God begins to speak everything into existence, everything is perfect up to the end of chapter 2. Chapter 2 ends the moment when things were perfect, and it ends with this, "And they knew no shame." We were never meant to carry that. We were never meant to have that feeling of shame in our lives. Christ has called us to be redeemed from it. We are called to let that go. We should stop coming rehearsing our apology. We should stop carrying our failures. We should not come unassured if we'll even be received. We are the prodigal son running home to the Father. When we've been in the pig pen and we decide it'd be better to serve God, be better to be a servant of my Father. When I turn back and I run home and I see Dad standing in the back, when I see God standing in the back, he doesn't stand there and say, well, hurry up, get to me. He runs to me. He doesn't stand at a distance waiting for you to prove something. He doesn't hold your past over your head. He runs. He embraces. He restores. So stop standing at a distance when you've been invited into his arms. And the last area is this. Let's step into our inheritance. Because you are not just forgiven, you've been brought into a family. That means that you are not barely tolerated, you are fully wanted. You are not on the outside looking in, you have been seated at the table. You are not insecure in this relationship, your place is secure in him. And when you begin to live from that reality, it changes everything. Because you're no longer trying to become someone, you are living as someone who already belongs. From that place of belonging, God is still working in you. But now it's not striving for identity, it's the growth from our identity. You see, I think, to get ready and close up before too long, it reminds me of the woman with the issue of blood, one of my all-time favorite miracles in Scripture. You see, for 12 years, this woman had suffered from continuous bleeding. 12 years, she had been considered unclean according to the law. 12 years of being cut off from worship, from her community, from connection with others, from her family. And for 12 years, she had carried fear, shame, and isolation. And yet, when she heard that Jesus would be passing through, she made a decision. If only I could touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. She searched through the crowd, trembling, desperate, but full of faith. And when she just touched the hem, immediately she was healed. You know, that's a pretty good place to stop. We usually conclude our thoughts with that. But what brings me hope is the next. It says this, he looked at her and said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Catch that. Daughter. For 12 years, she'd been distant from everyone she knew because she could not be a part of them, for she was unclean by the law. But in this moment, Jesus reaches down and reestablishes her by saying, daughter. Church, some of us have lived our lives thinking that we are workers, orphans, or illegitimate, that we must earn his love, that we are alone, or that we don't belong. But he is calling you, not as a stranger, not as a worker, but as his beloved child. He sees you, he knows you, and he loves you beyond all that you can imagine. Let today be the day that you remember who you are. You are a child of the King. You are loved unconditionally. You are chosen, and you belong in the family of God. As our worship group begins to come back up, I just want you to think back to Simba. All the way back in the beginning, Simba was hiding in the wilderness, weighed down by shame and fear, believing that he had failed and didn't belong. But his father's words reminded him of the truth. Who he was did not depend on what he had done, but on who his father had made him to be. Just like Simba, church, we are called to return to the pride lands, embracing our identity, walking as the beloved child of the King, and let his love guide every step that you take. And so today, as our worship group prepares, take a moment. What lie have we believed? What lie have we fallen into? What have we believed that Satan whispers in our ear? Do you believe that you are a child of the King? Do you believe that you have been given a love that passes all understanding, that Jesus can bring joy into your life? Or are you striving to work harder, trying to earn a love? Or do you even understand who Jesus is? I believe there's not a coincidence in this world, but it's God's perfect plan. And maybe that's the reason you're here today. So as we stand and worship in this next few moments, would you be ready to claim your identity in Christ? Are you ready to accept that you are a child of the King? Lord, we pray today over our congregation. Lord, I pray over each and every situation, for every person who's walked in. Lord, we don't know the story of those who came in, but God, you called them to be here today. And so, Lord, I pray that as we step into this moment of worship, as we begin to sing praises unto your name, Lord, let us be reminded that you died for us. Lord, that you gave your life for us. And God, you've called us to be childlike here, to step out in faith and say, Lord, we claim you today. Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I have fallen short, but praise God, I accept you today as my Lord and my Savior. And Lord, would you step into my life today, purify my heart, cleanse me of all of my sins, and forgive me. And Lord, the moment we finish, I believe you've already begun a new work in me. So God, today as we step up to worship, Lord, fill us with your Spirit, empower us, embolden us, and let us claim the identity that you have given us, for we are childs of the King. In these things we ask in your holy and precious name. And amen.